Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So faith is very necessary this morning in our pursuit of God. We can't live for God, an unseen God, without faith. But I want to look at it a little, maybe more deeply. Scripture also says that the devil believes, trembles. So there's more than that. I'm thinking about this morning about what that we realize what our faith, what we have faith in, the faith in God. And I think it's very important this morning that we realize that God loves us. And that God isn't a mean taskmaster that is waiting for your mistake. And He's not there to waiting for you to mess up so that you can be condemned forever, or that He can show His wrath to you, or anything like that. If we could really get a hold of this, it would help us in our lives to know that God, how much God loves us, and we can get a little bit of the taste of it sometimes. I know that my children aren't perfect, but I love them anyway. My love for my children is never challenged by whether they're correct or not. And God loves us. There's a scripture, and I didn't look it up, but most of us are familiar enough to know that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he finds the pearl of great price, he sells all that he may obtain that pearl. And there are songs written about it. I mean, there's thoughts and philosophies about it. And we think of this pearl of great price and how valuable Jesus is. The only problem is that's not what that scripture is talking about. It says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. Jesus is actually the merchant man in this, and he's seeking goodly pearls, which is, it's you. I don't know if you've ever thought about this like this, but you are the pearl of great price that Jesus gave everything for, that he might get that pearl of great price. And I think of the definition of love best being suited, you've heard me say it, but it's best looked at as, instead of thinking about an emotional or a romantic love, it's much more accurate to think about love in the sense of value and worth. And Jesus so, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was so, we're so valuable. You're so valuable today that your faith can soar because you're valuable to God. God is doing everything He can. You are so valuable to Him. He loves you enough to send His Son. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. Therefore, our faith is in something. If we can only realize how much, it's such an advantage to us, because many times we go through things in life and we will be challenged by the decision we make, or sometimes by our failures. And we can think God then is going to distance Himself from us and not He's not going to work on our part because we are less than we ought to be. You're a pearl of great price. He cares enough today to keep you, to follow after you, to help you. So we have faith more than saying, there's a God in heaven. That's faith. There's some faith in that, to believe that there is a God. But there's a more faith in that to believe that God hears our prayers. There's more faith in that to believe that God is working on our behalves. But then there is a faith to believe in a God that loves you even when you fail. There's that loves you and follow after you when you aren't. When you make that mistake or you go through those kind of places, God still loves you. And He's not about to quit. The message today is that you can have faith in the love of God because He's not stopping His love for us. I want to look at a scripture in Psalms 25. It says in the 10th verse, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. All the paths of the Lord are mercies and truth. All the paths? You know, we think sometimes in our religious minds, our religious lives, we can sometimes think, what's the reason for this? Why do we do what we do? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. God isn't doing anything that's not good for us. He doesn't lay a requirement on us that's not beneficial to us. The reason why there's standards in the church is because of His mercy to us. Because He loves us. I had somebody run into a situation recently where, and I always think these things are, they catch me a little humorous in my mind. When someone maybe looks at me and my lifestyle and they look at me and say, you know, that's kind of crazy way to live. And then I look at them and say, yeah, you've been divorced 3 times and you're divorcing for the 4th and your children spread over here and there and you're fighting and you're on drugs and you're a drunkard and you got a smoking habit that's going to take you young and I'm crazy. All the ways of the Lord are mercy and truth. The Lord, what the Lord's trying to do is to keep you from hurting yourself. The Lord's trying to keep you from destroying your family. He's trying to keep you from dying at an early age. I mean, the Lord's in control of life and death, but He allows us to make decisions about our lives. And the truth of it is He says you'll live longer if you obey your parents. You'll have a longer life if you obey your parents, meaning if you'll come under a certain guideline, you'll be better off for it in life. All the ways of the Lord is mercy and truth. What we're doing isn't haphazard or just by chance. The Lord chose things for us to be able, so we can get along, so we can be functional with one another, that we can have relationships that we can hold and keep together, so that a man and his son can get along. So that a mother and a daughter can get along. So that we can have a congregation here that will watch one another's back. And keep one another and pray for one another when we get in trouble. Two's better than one because if one falls, he has no one to help him up. But if you travel by two, then there's another one to help you up. If you have a whole congregation and you get in trouble, you've got a lot of firepower to the Lord. You know, the Lord, all the ways of the Lord are mercy and truth. The idea of truth is simply this. God didn't say anything that He didn't mean and that He wouldn't back up. All of the things that the Lord said and every promise that He made is, yes, they are yea and amen. They are absolutely true. The things that the Lord promised, He said, if you'll live for Me, I'll fight your battles for you. He said to His disciples that I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. All the ways of the Lord are true. He didn't say anything that wasn't true. So when we look at this and we think about all the ways of the Lord are mercy, do you realize that even when the Lord allows the hard things to come into our life, when the Lord looks and sees that we could be erring, you can err if you want to. But all the ways of the Lord are mercy. I remember the conversation that happened after events like what we traditionally call 9-1-1, the attack on the Trade Center, Katrina. I heard the religious voices of that time and what they were talking about and statements like one minister said that this was God working. And after Katrina, they said, this is God getting people's attention. And, oh, there was such an outcry. There was such an outcry of saying, God's not like that. Yes, He is. It's called mercy. I know people die. God's ways are above our ways. But you know God will allow things in your life. And it isn't bad. Oh, it may feel bad. It may look bad. It may be painful. It may come right to the attention. But God loves you. You can't, our faith can't go anywhere if we don't establish this, that God loves me enough to save my soul. God loves me enough to allow the events, all the ways of the Lord are mercy and truth. The things that the Lord allows into life, to come into life, sometimes He'll allow things to happen. I remember after 9-1-1, we was out in the tent work at the time, and there was a stirring of the mind of the nation. There was a heart to find God. There was a lot of people that were so shook up that they was turning their attention towards God. They had prayer, if you can imagine this. Right after that, they had prayer, the senators and the congressmen, and they had prayer on the Capitol steps. Well, they ain't having prayer today up there on the Capitol steps, but they did after that. Because it was something that stirred him, and it's called the mercy of God. God is being merciful because we're a pearl of great price. And He wants, sometimes, and listen, you're not bad for this, and neither am I. You're called human for this. Sometimes humans just naturally lose their desire for things. We believe something and isn't correct, or we get these emotional twinges, you may call them, to where somebody says something and I'm hurt and I respond in that hurt way, and if I keep going in that way, I may lose my soul. But the Lord loves you enough today to bring something to get your attention, and sometimes it isn't. I wish it was always just this voice that said, Marty, I love you and you're going the wrong way. I don't hear them real well. But I hear when a pain sticks in there. I hear when something challenges. Well, Lord, what is this? It's mercy and truth. It's mercy and truth that the Lord is sending our way. If we accept the premise today, that God is love, and that we are His pearl of great price, that He is not about to lose without Him doing everything He can, then we have to accept the dealings that the Lord has in our life as Him loving us. We believe, the world don't like this, and it's challenging, but we believe that the Scripture teaches that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. The old timers around my life didn't have any trouble with the understanding of that. They understood very well that a swat was worth 1,000 words sometimes. I mean, my mother kept on hand a good switch. Well, she did. That was just true. And if she couldn't get hold of it fast enough, she'd use her flip-flop or a coat hanger. It didn't make any difference because the results was the same at the end of it. But I want to tell you this, when my mama took 4 small children to the grocery store, there wasn't anybody embarrassed by us throwing stuff out in the aisles and doing all that. Didn't happen with my mom. She corrected us to keep her from being embarrassed. Well, yeah. And to keep merchandise from being destroyed. Yeah, sure. She done it because she loved us. And we wasn't going to get along well in life if we wasn't taught to do things right. And so Mom was a believer in teaching us to do things right. And I'll say this, I never had a whooping that I enjoyed. But as I look back at them, I know they all was important. I got one when I was in school. Now, my mom's view and dad's view of discipline at school was, said, if you got a spanking at school because you deserved it, you're likely to get one when you get home. Or at least we would agree that you needed it, okay? And you act better than that. Well, I got a few in school, and I never got one that I didn't deserve. I don't know what they do today, and I know things are different, but I'll say this. The ones that I got when I was in school made me say I don't want no more. That I got it. I got it. Especially the last one I got, I remember thinking, that's the last one I want because Mr. Matheny did it right. And I said, I don't want no more of Mr. Matheny on that one. He wasn't fooling around. It was serious. And it wasn't worth what I had done to do that. So I want to say, it was a benefit to me in life. This can be done, the scripture says, and them being evil. Your earthly father disciplines you after his own desire. Many times we are corrected out of quickness or not understanding, and you can get swatted when your brother done it. It ain't all perfect. But God's perfect. And what God's trying to do with these children is get us to a better place. It's done in mercy and truth. These things aren't just done. God loves us a lot, and He wants us to be all that we can be. And He's trying to help us to be that. And He doesn't want to see our relationships crumble. I'm going to tell you, He don't want to see our congregation split in twos or fours or sixes. He don't want to see two of us squabbling with one another. He doesn't want to see it. So He's trying to teach us how to take perceived offenses with grace. He's trying to teach us how to be temperate in everything. To have our words seasoned with salt. We're not born that way. We're born sinners. We're born selfish. So He's going to correct it and try to change it. So I wanted to encourage us today that the things that happen into our lives are always, get me, always mercy. And even when it looks like something's come that has tornadoes, earthquakes that take people life, all those kinds, you say God is a vengeful God. Well, there'll be a time where everybody's going to, I'm going to tell you, even I believe, and don't think it's a contradiction, I believe even in God's vengeance is love. I think God's wrath is presented because of love. I think it's necessary as it can be. If there wasn't laws in this natural life, you imagine the what it would be like to drive our highways if there was no speed limits. When these truckers around here that's on loads, how many they can deliver getting money, and they're gonna come off a cheat doing 80. 90. They're gonna come through Green Bank honking as fast as they can, blowing the horn to get out of the way. I'm glad there's laws. I'm glad there's rules to protect us from our own selves. It'll not happen to me. I won't hurt anybody. I'll handle it. And maybe you can, but I don't know if I want to be on the highway with that kind of situation or us taking things into our own hands. There's rules, laws for a reason. Well, God even more so. He wants to protect us from our own selves. And therefore He puts things in our lives. I think they're all done with mercy and love towards us. I'm going to read another scripture in Jeremiah 29. It's very familiar. We read it a lot around here, I think. We mention it. 11th verse says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." I'm going to back up just a minute. 10th verse. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Now, here was the thing. This was talking about the captivity of the people, they had not kept the word of the Lord. They hadn't lived for God faithfully. They had given themselves over to idolatry and all kinds of mischiefs and went away from the things of the Lord. What was the Lord supposed to do? The Lord loved them. What was He supposed to do? They had went completely away. If He left them to their own, they would all be lost. It would have been a hope for them and the whole thing would have been gone. So the Lord says, I'm going to allow your enemy to overtake you. Do you know that was mercy in truth that He allowed them to be overtaken by their enemies? The Babylonians came and conquered them and took them. They could have never took them had they have served God faithfully. Never. But they didn't. And the Lord allowed this to come. And this is the setting of this scripture. He says, you're going to be carried away as slaves. That sounds like an awful punishment. And the Lord says, for I know my thoughts that I think to you, you might be looking at me and saying, what an awful God to allow this to happen to us. You know, there's a lot of people think that way because of what goes on in the world, that God must be awful, or because something happens, God must be awful. There was a story that went something like this. I don't know that it was supposed to be a true story or if it was a true story. If it is a true story, I can't verify it, but the story went something like this. That there's a guy in a barber shop, and he's talking about God, and the barber is not a believer, doesn't believe in God. And so the barber ends up saying to the man, said, you'll never convince me that there's a God. When you look around at the world that we live in and all of the hideous things that go on and all the suffering that goes on and the children that are abused and all the evil that happens in our world, said, you'll never convince me that there's a God. Well, the guy leaves the guy that was at the barbershop, he leaves the barbershop and he goes outside and he goes and he gets a little bit and he runs into a guy out there that's got this big old long beard and his hair all the way down his back and he just looks a shape so the guy turns around and goes back into the barbershop and says to the barber, and you call yourself a barber. He said, what do you mean? He said, look at this guy out here, hair long, beardy like that, and you call yourself a barber. You ain't no barber. With people running around in the world like that, and you claim to be a barber, you ain't no barber. And the barber said, well, what do you expect me to do? I can't do anything unless they come to me. That's right. That's right. That's the way God made it at the beginning. We got a part. We got a part in it. But the Lord loves us. He loves everybody. We're a pearl of great price. He wants to do something for us, but He leaves it. And He says to them, you messed up, but I want you to know that what I'm doing is not in bitterness. It isn't because I hate you or want to destroy you. It's just the opposite. You don't get it. You don't get it. And the worst thing that can happen to you is you to be eternally lost. And I love you too much to let you be eternally lost. I don't like spanking my children. I ain't spanked my children in a long time. My older ones got spanked more than my younger ones. I think there's reasons for that when you get older. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? But I want to say this. I never spanked one of them that I enjoyed it. I ain't so sure that I agree with this hurts me more than it does you attitude, but I know that it does hurt for a parent to have to do it. It's not a pleasant thing to do it. I want you to know that the reason why you're grounded. I want you to know the reason why you got that spanking or the reason why you can't play your computer game is because you've got to get this. Because if you don't, it's going to hurt you. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to grow up selfish and take that into a marriage and destroy your marriage. I don't want you to take that into life till you can't hold a decent job. I knew a guy that was quite pampered when he was young and wasn't made to do anything, forced to do anything. If he wanted to do it, it was okay. If he didn't want to do it, it was fine. And so he goes on and he goes and ends up, he needs a job like all young men, and he gets a job. And before long, there's a controversy in his work, and he gets disappointed or whatever, so he quits his job. And he goes to another job. And he goes to another job, and him and his boss gets into it. The boss says to do something, and he don't want to do it, and so he ends up saying, "You can't make me do it." And the boss, and he lands another job, and another job, and another job. And before long, he's saying, "What's wrong with me?" You know, he comes to this place to where he actually said, "Mom, Dad, what happened? I got trouble here." "Well, you know, the Lord says, I know my thoughts towards you. It looks like that when you cause me to have to do this, and I don't want to do it, and you make me to have to do it, it looks like you're bad." "No, not bad. I know the thoughts. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. You're a pearl of great price that I gave everything for, and I'm not going to lose you easily. I'm going to do everything that I can." You know, there was a time that the Lord said to a bunch of Pharisees, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Remember that kind of language? We say, "Well, that was harsh." All the ways of the Lord are mercies and truth. You know that the best option that those people had gone so far that the best option that the Lord had was to rebuke them. The Lord didn't want to do that. He wanted to say things like to them, "As your faith is, be it unto you." He wanted to say God that, but that wasn't where they had got to. They got to the place that the rebuke was the best opportunity. It didn't work, but it was the best chance they had, because all the ways of the Lord are mercies and truth. And the analogy in that passage in Psalms 25:10, that the analogy is that the road is so worn that it's rutted. That's what that script, that passage of the path is of His mercy and truth, is that the Lord has done it so much in through history. Always it is rutted. It's hard. That's the way it'll be again. You can look and say the way He's went. He's always been merciful. And He's never been false. It's always true. You can count on it in our lives today. It is so rutted with history of mankind. You can see it from every one of the patriarchs. You can see it from every one of God's people. You can see it through Israel. God has always been faithful to them. It is rutted deep. And we can look at that, and I can go back in my time of serving the Lord to Brother Sammons and Brother Golden and Brother White and Sister Sammons and all those that went for us. The rut's deep. The rut's deep. Sure, He allowed things to happen in their lives. "But I know my thoughts towards you, that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace." Well, wait, you're having us sent to Babylon. Thoughts of peace. But we got to be a slave down there. Thoughts of peace. You've turned from me, and I've got to correct it, that you might have peace. Because you'll never have peace if you don't. And not of evil. It isn't of evil to give you an expected end. And here's, and we've run out of time, but this is the ending of the whole thing. To give you an expected end. The Lord looks beyond. He looks beyond the circumstances now. He looks beyond that and sees the end of it. And what His idea of the children of Israel was, "I'm going to send you to Babylon for 70 years. And when that time is fulfilled, I'm going to bring you back. And then it's going to be right. You're going to have it." He said to the children of Israel, when they didn't cross there, you're going to wander 40 years in the wilderness. Sounds like a punishment. But he saw the end of the 40 years, and everybody that was over 20 years of age was gone, and now they come back fresh and new, and it was always done in mercy and truth to spare the people, to spare the cause, to spare us. I know my thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. I want you to be at peace. I want your family to be at peace. I want your soul to be at peace. I want you to have an experience. I want these things for you. So it's a peace. It's not of evil. I want you to be able to come down to the end of life's way and say, as Paul did, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. God's been able to keep me all the way through. I want to be able to come down to the end of life and not have all the regrets that the world has. Not have all the confusion out there of the world. So yeah, there's restrictions on life. We're what's called a holiness people. We accept them more than most do there. But every one of them, there's a reason why we do what we do. There's a scriptural reason why the Lord wants us to do this. Because He has thoughts of peace towards us. When we start filling ourselves with filthiness and all these kind of things, or restrictions, or what we call restrictions and all those kind of the things that we have, there's a reason why they're restricted. It's because the Lord has a thought towards us. I want you all to prosper. I want you to be able to stand with a full confidence in me. I want to be able to visit you and you visit me with a purity and an openness and a clearness in that. And I know these other things get in the way of it. It won't work in it. Joseph had an experience. We use it quite a bit. He said they intended it for evil. I allowed it for good. They did it and was evil in doing it. But I allowed it for good because I saw the end. Now listen to this. Do you know the very ones that done the evil prospered because there was somebody there that God used the good through? And so they intended it for evil, but they spared their own lives through Joseph's living for the Lord. And he saw the end of the whole thing and brought it down. And at the end of it, all it was peace. God's merciful. And He loves again. So as we have faith, remember that our faith is enhanced because the fact that is if you can set this as the strongest conviction of your spiritual life, you need this conviction that God loves you. Because there'll be times to where you feel like that the whole thing's fell under, and you'll go before the Lord, and one thing that you can say with the utmost confidence, Lord, I know you love me. And if you love me, I can go through anything knowing that your desire is that I'm, you ever think of that? I'm valuable. Not in a haughty way, but to God, I'm worth something. That is so valuable. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.